عند الخيل دولة.
Framework legislation. Yeah. There is a chapter in the current state that deals with the National Spatial Development Framework. The National Spatial Development Framework is the spatial equivalent of the NDP. Two, it also provides for planning norms and standards for the country, not just for the Department of Rural Development. So there are those particular functions that would be managed in the presidency by the Ministry of Planning. Of course, there are other functions that are local government related, such as the provincial, I mean the local Spatial Development Frameworks, the land use schemes, the establishment of land use regulators. Many parts of the country do not have those land use regulators. A lot of development is happening in an unregulated environment. The Constitutional Court judgment in 2010 specifically said that's a local government function. So I think the minister will possibly be sharing those responsibilities with other ministers. But also, the Act itself provides that there are certain functions that can be allocated to individual ministries, for instance, like your environment and so on and so on and so on. So it's going there to be reallocated in terms of the functions. The teams of the presidency, the department, our department, together with the Department of Cooperative Government, we are working on the modalities of those recommendations to then recommend to the ministers and the president to say perhaps this is the way we are being advised by the chief state law advisor in terms of how to go about doing that. That's the purpose. We will respectfully have to request that we submit the details of the information the committee has requested on the hectares that have been allocated to farm dwellers and labor tenants. We do not have it with us here in our possession, but that information is available in the department. Suffice to say that, of course, we have bought quite a lot of land for farm dwellers and labor tenants. But relative to the number of farm dwellers in the country, there's about 2.8 million people who live on commercial farmland in South Africa. So there will still be quite a lot of people who will require their rights in land to be secured in one way or the other by the department. So we will provide the information. There was another question on the AgriFast and how was the money spent. There are several programs across the department If you look specifically under program 3, you've got a number of programs there. Among them, you've got the River Catalytic Program, where we are establishing education schemes in various parts of the country. Here, there's a detailed report, for instance, on the number of projects that we have. For production purposes, irrigation schemes are very, very important. They will contribute a lot of throughput for the agriculture. So we're working on over 8 irrigation schemes across the country. We also have the animal and plant management program. There's an agreement that we have, for instance, with one land NGO where they are looking at improving the goat herd in the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal. They estimate that there's over 500,000 indigenous goats there. They are currently being commercialized. We are building the infrastructure. We have already built some of the infrastructure. They are also looking at having an abattoir. In the Eastern Cape, we also have a similar program driven largely by the National Agricultural Marketing Council, working together with the wool growers. And we also have the red meat program. Those are all the programs that are aimed at, we're looking at specific commodities in the agricultural sector, which we believe through our programs will anchor the agri-parks further downstream for agro-processing. The recapitalization and development program is contributing also to the agri-parks. We have also a number of cooperatives that we have supported, that we have established. They are going to be playing a very an instrumental role as part of the of anchoring the agri-parks. It is very, very important that we create we support those programs so that agri-parks do not become white elephants. So we are building from below, building up. We have got over 800 projects that we have been focusing on, primarily looking at supporting the agri-parks. We have that information. The question on the support specifically to municipalities. We focused a lot in supporting municipalities because when Pluma came into operation, it became very evident that some municipalities, in fact, we started with a skills audit of sorts. We said, what learning capacity exists in the various rural municipalities? Mm-hmm. We were shocked to discover that there were municipalities where there was not a single planner. So we then said, okay, how then do we work together with them? For instance, they needed to develop bylaws so that they can implement some of the provisions of SPLUMA. Some of them did not even have the capacity to develop bylaws. So we had to develop generic templates for them to assist them. We also assisted them to establish the land use regulators. Land use regulators are going to be very, very important in authorizing any form of development in the space of a local municipality. In fact, even the Department of Rural Development would have to go through those land use regulators. So we have supported municipalities to establish those land use regulators. We had a budget that we have set aside last year of about 20 million rand to support them. I think the CFO will also speak on the narrative. We've noted the concern about the delay in the legislation. I think the one bill that is here before Parliament is the ESTA amendment. Cabinet has also recently approved the CPA amendment, so it should be coming to Parliament quite soon. We've concluded, we had gone to Cabinet with the deeds amendment bill. We initially called it the deeds electronic registration bill. Cabinet advised us to relook at the bill, so we went back to the drawing board, but we have completed all the consultation, public consultation with that bill as well. Similarly, we also went to Cabinet Committee with the regulation of land holdings, and again, Cabinet Committee advised us to go back and further consult other departments, and we are re-looking, we have consulted specifically the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, because there were elements in the bill which they felt that were overlapping with their own draft legislation. So we've concluded, at least at a technical level, those consultations. So the bill should itself be ready as well. I'm hoping that the Chief State Law Advisor, because of if there are significant changes, we may not be we will not be required again to go back with the Chief State Law Advisor, because that in itself will take a little bit of time. The bill is not a very simple bill, it is quite tricky. Similarly, the Coral and Tenure Bill, it's been completed, but it also took a lot of time to be completed by the Chief State Law Advisor who were looking at it. But from our side, the bill is complete. Those were the four priority bills that we had promised that you would bring before Parliament after approval by Cabinet. The 50-50 program or the SRR, as we refer to it, the strengthening of relative rights for people working the land, is progressing very, very well. There was a very good response after quite a lot of resistance initially to the policy from the agricultural sector. A number of individual farmers have come forward to the department. We have got actually 30 of those applications that we are processing. Quite a few have been approved. They are being implemented as we speak. Obviously, as you implement, you draw a lot of lessons. You've got to take into account the new experiences. 50-50 is something we had never done before. So we are learning as we implement, because the President in the State of the Nation address said there will be 10 pilots for the MTEF. But we believe that there's an uptake out there which is enhancing the delivery of land reform, and we shouldn't be taming that appetite out there. We shouldn't be saying, no, we'll wait a minute. So I think each different project is teaching us very different lessons, so we are moving forward. We will exceed the number that we have set for ourselves. We take note of the rural service desk. Yes, we were very much dependent on space being made available. So we are pursuing the program further. We've taken note of the point that the members have said. We need to be looking at how do we expand it beyond just the 27 districts, but also going into all 44. We've got to do that, taking into account the fact that we will not be able to fund that from our resources, because the Treasury has taken the money away. We've got to be creative. We've got to see how we can use even the NARICEP youth to be to assist even in spreading that information, because NARICEP youth comes from these areas. The database of small scale farmers, Honorable Magalda, we do not have the database of provincial database of farmers. We do, however, have a database of farmers that we have assisted. The Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is working on that database. They have been working on it since last year. They have also sought the assistance of Statistics South Africa to help them develop the database. The Honorable Chairman mentioned asked the question about the number of applications we are getting for establishment of new towns and other developments. Because the department is the custodian of a lot of state land, if not all of the state land in the former homeland. When commercial developers want to build a mall in Tzaneen or anywhere else, for that matter, they apply through the department for the minister to give them long-term leases. We do get a few, especially in two provinces in particular. We get a lot of them from Limpopo, and we get quite a few applications for malls and the like from Mpumalanga. In the main, those are the two provinces that are quite active where a lot of development is happening. We do not get, we do get requests from municipalities who want to be assisted with land so that they can build RDP houses. But we can also check with the Chief Surveyor General, because anybody who wants to do a township establishment, those plans have got to be approved by the Chief Surveyor General. We can ask, we can obtain the information from the Chief Surveyor General, how many general plans, except for the big residential housing. I'm not aware of many, many applications for establishment of new town that are coming our way, but we confirm with the Chief Surveyor General. Can I hand over to the e-cadastre? The e-cadastre, as we reported previously, the SIU approached us towards the end of 2014 to say that they want to investigate how the tender was allocated by CITA, because the tender for the e-cadastre, because all ICT tenders like that are advertised by CITA. So they wanted to investigate whether the tender was properly issued by the CITA to Tijima. They investigated, and they then said they applied to the court to set aside the tender, because they believe that CITA did not follow proper procedures in the allocation of the tender. And the SIU subsequently entered into negotiations with Tijima. They reached an out-of-court settlement. The tender now no longer exists. There is no e-cadastre tender. What is, however, happening is obviously the deeds office, the modernization of the deeds office must continue. The deeds office is now looking at how they are going to continue with the modernization of the deeds office. But right now, there is no service provider that has been appointed. They have approached GTEC, which is the technical assistance unit of the National Treasury, to help them develop a proper scope on how to move forward with the modernization of the deeds office. The land rights management facility, again, we reported that the tender that for the land rights management facility for Chidwell Thompson and Haytham expired, and they came to an end in March. We appointed a new firm of attorneys, a black firm of attorneys based in Gauteng, manager and associates. They have recently advertised for, it has got no relation to the to the doctor there and the chairperson. They have recently advertised for a new panel. They are retraining the panelists. We have agreed with them that we will then go on an outreach program, because We have received the same complaint that some of the attorneys were unreliable, they've gone to court without informing the labor tenants or the farm dwellers and so on and so on. So we're trying to improve the management of the land rights management facility going forward.
We are in a process of compiling and signing as those that are still in the business plan development stage. So they would definitely have affected the audit report because we are not finished. We do have that 7% award, which one, like your contingent liabilities, where we are developing a system of registering all these court cases and how do we deal with them. So yes, we have implemented 93%, 7% in special implemented. We are working on it. I don't know if you still need, because you said you would want to know which ones, whether you want that report to be given to you, because we do have that report.
The committee.
Madam Chair, please guide us on the ITP question, because there were questions relating to the ITP, but we understand that the ITP is presenting tomorrow, so you guide us on that, and the reasons for qualification and so on.
I think the members.
Maybe Chair, if we can find out, are you going to be in tomorrow? So that's why they say it does not address the root cause, but it does. It's just that it's over a number of years, so the impact is not so fast like we want to. The material misstatements that have been reduced with regard to process and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, we've noted that the irregular expenditure has decreased. And fruitless and wasteful has increased. I think when I was reporting, I said we've got the FCC that deals with the misconduct financial compliance committee that we have set up, that is made up of legal and labor relations and finance, where they are discussed in terms of the law and if there is any transgressor, they are dealt with through the labor relations processes. So I think the AG has said they have noted that we are able to detect, but the problem is the prison measures, which we do. We've got policies that people compliance with the policies. So it's sort of like a human nature that you there is policies that they don't do this, but they still go and do. Then you approach to them, bring in the processes that deals with the non-compliance. But preferably, it would be better that the policies do discourage people not to break the law. They plan to reduce consultants. What Treasury has done for us when we were complaining about the restitution not having enough money for research and the issue of the land rights management facility, they then increased our consultant budget and ring-fenced it. So that we cannot do anything about it. The money comes already, instead of it sitting like it used to sit just somewhere, they now ring-fence it and say 150 million is for your restitution research and all those things that would be needed for them to be able to finalize the claims. And then they gave us another about 186 million that relates to land rights management facility. So the two of them is almost 250 million of the consultants, and it's money that comes from fence. So we cannot reduce. Then you still have the balance that deals with other consultants that are outside these ones that have been fenced. It's not necessarily that we have increased, but Treasury has now ring-fenced and said we'll call it consultants. The contingent liabilities, when the properties were devolved to the department, the budget never followed through from DPW. We have been engaging with the National Treasury around that. This year they have increased our allocation for rates and taxes, but very minimal. It doesn't begin to cover the number of properties that we have within the department. So what we normally do, which is what we have been doing, is when there's money left over at year end, we would use that money to pay the rates and taxes through the buyment. So there has not been a solution to our problem with rates and taxes, when we are given allocation that is sufficient for the portfolio that we carry. This engagement, I think when we were doing the bidding during the MTEF, we've raised this quite sharply with the National Treasury, and we'll see with the current budgeting period that is coming now with the EMP, whether they would have listened during the MTEF. But otherwise, that's where we are. The issue with the format, I think I would appreciate if the committee can give us a report, the kind of format they want us to do the reports for them. Because the format that we are using is from National Treasury. We use modified CAN standard. And whatever they give us as a format for reporting, we do report on. You look at the IYM, which is your monthly and quarterly report. These things come already as templates to the department. So, but if this committee wants a different one, just give us, we will comply.
We need no promoters for me.
Yes.
Slides 31 and 32 that have restitution performance, where in the settlement of claims, the finalization and the processing of phased projects, the commission has performed by more than 40% in some of them. That is as a...
Can I request that presentation on the restitution, the information that I want to be listening to.
terms of the legislation, the Auditor General has to remain independent of the department. So the relationship that they have is the support that we provide them on an agency basis primarily. There are challenges with regard to staffing the Auditor General's office and funding to fill those that we do. And we're working closely with them in terms of the relations structure to support the work of the Auditor General from an organization design perspective. And once they are able to fill vacancies, then they can function completely independently of the department on most levels. They will be reliant on us to some extent for certain things, but that will be based on the agency that is doing that sort of thing. Thank you.
Not in 17, okay.
On page, on the general report.
On the report.
But if you go to page 16, it is better. It says here, red says the box there that the red says not implemented. Yellow says in progress. Green says implemented, the other box that says blue. In this report, so they explain segments, progress, concerns. That's what we call it, the general report. Chair, I'd like to comment on that report, but I know this is the
Minister. The minister saying partially it's in progress, is what they're telling me. In progress. Now, something which is in progress, you will say you've achieved.
Achieved?
No. It's the not implemented, in progress, implemented. Yeah, I see that. Now, their presentation, it has partial and okay, all right, let me go to the actual. What are you using? You always use this.
It's an English word for progress.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, can you say when something is in progress, can you say you've achieved? I'm asking that question.
When it says in progress, it means partial.
Yeah. But can you mean that you've achieved? I'm saying.
Yeah.
You
can we just call it?
Exactly.
It's halfway, not there.
I do not know why this should be reduced to either English or mathematics or what. But I have joined oral reform on that point. It has also been raised before on record. What we mean is an annual report. An annual report is every work done and kept away. So the one that is either partial or in progress, all I read the committee to be saying is that that's not achieved and therefore may not necessarily go down well with the committee or with any other committee that we're asked to apply. I think that's the point. I don't know if I distort all of you come up because I'm on the record as having joined that point and consciously. That we are encouraging the department, honorable, dear honorable minister, DM, everyone, at annual report, give us a some something final called testament at in year at quarterly reports, we will gladly accept. I'll stand up to support progress. But at annual report, I guess the committee at best performance of its work, the committee should require and request of the department should simply be done, and therefore less of the I've seen it in progress, partial or what. I guess that's the principle I was assisting. I just request the whole of this house that we do not reduce the point to English or mathematics or what, because if I may continue my point, chair, because I'm discussing the point on the floor.
They will be completed in the financial year. That was my understanding on this partially achieved progress. Can you allow me to just move on? Thank you. The second phase of the question, Honorable Matthias, your hand was held.
Behind me is a beautiful project, because of an outsourcing. So this policy has been good in the last 2 days between ourselves since the House of Penetration. Now, the important thing here is that with regards to the repair problem, we never applied for money. What we did was 25% of the baseline budget and then the repair. So, that is where there is still a problem with that. Because they had thought that we actually got money from the church, which we didn't. Now, it's going to create lots of difficulties, but we will try as we go. Because what it means is that much of it is going to that, in the same way that school also does. All of us are convinced to work closely together to achieve this effect. Because even ourselves, transferring land, which is why we created this effect. Because we transferred land and nothing happened. So DAF is taking over this responsibility, but we know just how difficult for me to explain. There is another question which was not responded directly to the DAF was asked. Remember this question about so they didn't explain that, and that's going to precisely deal with the question of information at the local level, because municipalities would be participating directly in the implementation of projects, including determination of priority in each of the municipalities. At the provincial level, already has been discussed and the questions are being made. So that at the technical level, where at the provincial level, provinces that they face in their rural development, their implementation plans of the municipalities. The other thing, yeah, there's a question which also was did you try to respond to this on the city council? I was concerned that you asked this question. In Mpumalanga, there is a processing that the city that is in the provincial city, and the service provider, the technical level has been done, has been working there very closely with us. On the 16th, the citizens study has been sending a team, because of the competition between various schools. They are those who want to emphasize that are those who want to see it. You say it's not necessarily there's no conflict here. It's a question of land. So very closely with Connect, and assembled with a group of six and found two groups, three from the group that says that there's the one at the father, one that there's the one after that state. We all see the side city question of what comes from. The new mayor there is going to them, and Dr. Paul is going to represent him as a member of the party of the council for Bumalanga. So they're going. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Lukman, we have looked at both the annual report by the department and the report by the Office of the Auditor General. But what is really in the statistics? What is it that statistics and reports attempt to do? Essentially attempt to serve as a yardstick to assess success of policy implementation and also to interpret socio-economic outcomes that these policies have on the citizens. They only serve those two purposes. And what is the social impact of government policies on our people? If we are unable to measure and assess if at all these policies have got a positive impact on the livelihoods of our people. I think that's the most important question. Daniel Coleman says, you cannot measure that which you cannot manage. and vice versa. You cannot manage that which you cannot measure. And seated here, I've got a sense that the department, it's in that dilemma. Of course, here's the statistics as presented here in the report looks very good, very impressive, DG. You and I are of good friends.
Still.
but then most importantly, these statistics serve more as a mirror of success and failures of government policy. The reality is, Honorable Minister, let not be carried away by 2017 conference is a bit far. The 2017 conference is a bit far, you and Honorable Song. Let's not be carried away by whatever does happen there. The reality is, we may be sitting here and look at statistics and look at them with wonder and say, wow. What a good presentation by the department. The truth is, when you go out there and meet with the people, and our people are still fixated in the belief that the ruling party is the alpha and omega, and they are placing their hopes and aspirations in the ruling party. When we go out there and they meet us with rage, we can't help but to look at our colleagues from the benches, from the African National Congress, and say, give answers to these complaints and all of that. And that explains why Honorable Nguni comes so hard, because he's at the coal face, and together with all of us. But who is more exposed to the rage of our people? Unfortunately, the members of the ANC in this portfolio committee, because people look up upon them to give answers. That's the reality of policy failure to transform the livelihoods of our people on the ground. Now, if statistics will be presented in the form of a thick document, glossy report like this, we begin to ask ourselves, is the purpose of such thick reports, I was even asking Honorable Chief, what is your name from the DS? Exactly, what does this seek to do? What is this? What do you call this? DG. This structure. This structure represents exactly what I'm trying to paint here. That if I'm able to impact positively on these areas illustrated here, we would have failed to impact on the livelihoods of our people. And it's like this department is struggling if it is not failing to impact on these areas. Rather, what is found to be good is to present your report in a thick and glossy report like this, and to hide the failures of the department behind the statistics. And you are not only hiding the failures of the department behind statistics, you are also hiding the truth of what our people are exposed to on the ground, the miseries of our people. Those miseries are hidden behind the statistics and these closely and thick reports. Now, we are appealing to you that we ought to do something to provide tangible outcomes on the work that you say you have been doing for the last 12 months, to provide data which can be discerned, which can be looked at, tangible, to quantify the social impact of your programs and activities on our people. We ask on you to develop measuring instruments that will be able to help the department to impact on the livelihood of our people. we are asking you that in the development of such measuring instruments, next time when you come to present here, present clearly in terms of your performance indicators, the outcomes on the social and economic well-being of our people, and how their livelihood have been transformed. Lastly, you all know, and you know much better than I do, that livelihoods of our people in pre-colonial Africa and even today have been largely dependent or based on access to land. And if in all the areas of the program, whether be it redistribution, land redistribution, restitution, and land tenure reform, would be unable to connect and to get our people back to land, so that what they used to generate their livelihood from, which is land, is restored back, and there are meaningful interventions in ensuring that the livelihood is transformed and improved, only one thing will happen to all of us without exception. And history comes in a unique way, and when it comes, it acts indiscriminately. It will judge us harshly. But I've got confidence in the leadership of the minister that these kind of things that are illustrated here can be done. And I think credit to him and the team that he works with, the deputy ministers, that these things can be achieved only if we can tighten on our legislative instrument, including the regulatory mechanisms that are in place. The process which is underway of looking at various pieces of legislation, all the things that you said or are contained in your various policy documents, can be realized for as long as you rediscover your political will. You reclaim that which perhaps has temporarily escaped you. There's no point of, for instance, now over the last 3 days, we heard that the outgoing public protector is intervening in the matter of people of Mokgale in Northwest on the land claim that they put to the land claim, the restitution commission, and such claims have not been attended to. She attended to Bapoba Mokgale community. These are areas which requires an activist ministry, an activist Department of Rural Development Land Reform, an activist attitude from members of the portfolio committee to get into those areas and find solutions and not wait perhaps for other institutions of government which are there to support our democratic order to intervene when we have the means, we've got the ability to intervene in such areas. For now, let's not spend much of time to debate about the statistics, because we know that behind these statistics, the true reality, the miseries of our people could be or might be hidden behind. And if we would be stuck in these statistics, we'll forever not get it right. Let's look at if these policy choices that we have made impact positively on the livelihood of our people. That's just in general terms. I've got no specific matter to pick up in the report. I'm simply saying, we've got this time to redeem ourselves, and let's look at this. And lastly, just as I conclude, Madam Chair, I move that the department should, in the next presentation, when they come next to present, when they come, yes, I'm conversing my colleague here, and indirectly asking the department to look at that. This has been done in the past, but for the last, say, 7 years has been stopped. That the department should present what is referred to as the quality of life survey, with clear indicators on how policy choices and imperatives have improved on the livelihood of our people, so that when we look at the statistics, we're able to say, this is how the livelihood of our people has been transformed for the better. Thank you.
So many one can comment on about that, but it does not reflect the spirit of accountability. Because ultimately, we want to go where Honorable Matthias is absolutely spot on. He misses just one point. I see no progress in 2017 yet. I just see a committee doing oversight. Obviously, as he would have been led by the governing party. That's what I see. I see no 2017, and I see the constitution. Everyone succumbing and agreeing to be kind of accountable. That ought to be the status quo. But my point is that the points raised by Honorable Matthias are spot on. From these many books, including these big ones here, we must then translate it into what is called in intellectual theory socio-economic impact. Or if you like, outcomes. The report can try and be very complex with lots of formulae, but the essence of those reports is about the impact. Honorable Matthias is spot on, and if I'm distorting him, I'll ask him to fairly, correct me. It's about the impact, and he talks about the quality of life of the people out there. And I cannot agree more, Chair. I repeat the point. We've been through 7 provinces. Nowhere did we walk in led by this Honorable Chair to cheer of applause of the leaders of the people who are making the difference. If anything, yes, support staff, I think records are also available. 85 to 95% of the times, people have sneered at us. People have been very sorry and angry. So if you move from the tail end, remember there must be a linkage between the document, the formula, everything, and the outcomes or impact on the ground. The impact on the ground is written on the wall. And I am dead sure the committee is unanimous that the people are not pleased on the ground. Not from the electoral party, not 3rd of August, from when the committee visited the 7 provinces. I am preempting and saying we're going to Eastern Cape. I do know a case in Alexandria. That gentleman is Mr. Fina. He had to move with his head of cabinet after 30 years. He had to move out from Alexandria on eviction and making an example. So the writing is on the wall. And the Honorable Matthias, again, I may concede the point which it's a bonus for him if I concede it. But he is correct. We're facing pressure. And faced with pressure, we must go back to basics and get everything done right and done correctly. We'd like to make friends right across the table. But as we do that, it is maybe to our detriment. Now, everyone in the room seems to be so learned, and I'm saying it positively. I want to refer everyone to Nicaragua, 1989. What happened there? Nicaragua, 1989. All of us were learned, were experienced, were old. What happened there? The chair seems to be very young, but their profile fixes the older goes, the more beautiful you. So.
the situation about committees, accountabilities, governing parties and other are not cast in stone. They change and they can change. And again, Honorable Matthias, Honorable Jomani, they will agree with me, Honorable Filtani, everyone in the committee. They will agree that just few percentage points draw the line. So, Chair, the third point I'm leaving aside is the one that says, here is the format, if you don't accept that format, then, in other words, there's absolutely no undertaking we got. And I think let's just ask again, there will then be a nice two-word here. We must just swallow that as it is. We're not going to get any better format. But I'll promise everyone, I will promise everyone, we shall come back. Because I think it's not a deserved. It's absolutely not deserved. It follows, Chair, on record, on another where the committee member was told that at this level, we but there was something that was said. If we can't happen like that. Accountability is accountability. We all have ourselves and agree to be accountable. So that's my thing, Chair, about the outcomes. Chair, I'll rest on the issue about the yellow, the what, but that means the anarchy. And put my foot down as a member of the committee and say, that which has not been achieved at the end of the financial year, we do not accept. If we lower the standard to our own depths, to our own depths, I'd rather die of speaking the truth than die of lowering the standard and being cowards. To our own debt, that we humbly ask, if you ask for a budget and you got that 71% performance is not good enough. The very same statutes from Sudan, they ask of you to be at 98% to 102%. Also on performance they say. So those are just the 2 points, Chair. I know there were only 2 points I believe. The rest have been responded to and perhaps there's hope, but these are just the two I want to raise. And firmly agree with the correct perspective. Absolutely correct. It can be printed from Hansard, word for word, what Honorable Matthias has said. Absolutely spot on, save for the 2017 thing. I don't know what he's talking about there. But the rest of what he said is absolutely correct and it's marching orders, actually. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I am relieved that what I said in 2014, there are today two political parties that stand boldly and say this is what is needed by the people. I was the first one to make the call that the reports should be about the socio-economic impact.
Because
because it was never picked up, Chair, as a committee filling, you will not find this expression in any of the meetings. Exactly because it was never accepted by the committee as a position of the committee, not even as a unique position by the UDM. You will not find this expression. It was just pushed aside as if Filtana was just some crazy new MP who has got no idea how we work in Parliament. But I hope that today it will be recorded in the minutes of the day that three political parties have said to the department that the kind of report, Leonard DG, that we need here are the ones that reflect accurately on the socio-economic impact. I know that from the administration perspective, we're putting them in some kind of fix because currently the rules of Treasury do not ask for that. And this is a matter that has been in the public debate in the recent past. Now, it requires, therefore, political hunger on the part of the minister to go back to cabinet and say, from the perspective of the Department of Land Reform, there is a need for Treasury
to amend the regulations such that this is reflected. It is indeed true that when we went around to the various provinces, we literally needed protection. People are angry about the ineffectiveness of the assistance that they are getting from the department. That is a fact. In one case in Mpumalanga, if there were no policemen, our lives were really under threat. Your officials there can tell you. And that is why I'm stressing this point that you need now to formally go back to your colleagues and say, right, we need to have a rethink on how government departments reflect. It's okay for them, unqualified audit, fine. They get full mark, qualify for a bonus. That's as, so far as the rate, and I'm not saying this in a sarcastic manner. I've been a government official, that's the whole point. So they're 100% compliant, and it's for the political arm of the department to say, hey, we need to change. And unless there is that decision to change government regulations, they, next year, this time, they'll give us a similar report. That's what they've been doing in the last 3 years. That's why I'm stressing this point. So if it's minuted, then it will get momentum. Coming to the little technical points, outstanding questions from the time that the Auditor General was here, we're told that we can only deal with them with the department after the departure of the Auditor General. I had a query on page 27 of the report. Here, actually, yeah, it's an outstanding question in this current report of the department, why there were no rural enterprises that were established. I'm very keen to know. And insofar as the Auditor General's assertion is concerned, I had a query on irregular expenditure, slide 12 of the Auditor General's report, and lack of competence of key officials. And I was saying, why keep them, you know? And I was told that we would get a proper response from the department, because of course my questions were not directed at the Auditor General, they were directed at the department you know, itself. So those are the issues that I've got. I would hope, Chair, that the Honorable Minister will give us some form of response to what we have expressed. Yeah, you know, when he's given an appropriate time to do so. Thank you.
This may be to assist the Mamopeti man, the layman, not the lady, not Nombongo, not Nombongo, but on a serious note.
Another question.
We want to approach them on its own. We want target, achieve, not achieve, budget allocated, and budget not used. And automatically you'll see that, in a sense that your presentation, both, they don't align. It's not even there. You don't give us information. You hide information. That's what I'm saying. Thank you. No, no.
Thank you.
Solving that particular problem. I also believe, while I'm at the floor, let me throw this into the mix as well. We're not using the right measurements to look at sustainability of the enterprises. When we come to restitution, I'm sure we're going to look at that point again. But it relates to the same problem. We don't know what the money is being put into, and it's all up to targets that are getting measured. So to a large extent, and I'm not saying this as a derogatory criticism or trying to break anyone down, saying this, that I think if we can solve that problem, we know what we want to achieve, and we have the data to measure it, then we can have a meaningful interaction. And I think that's the frustration that I think everyone is feeling.
Thank you.
Of the committee with regards to the reporting. As Honorable Fitana has said, that this report is in this particular format because that is the standard. But the issue of the socio-economic impact of our progress is something that we ought to do. Honorable Matthias raised this point. We used in the past, the department used to own every 3 years to do the quality of life survey, to assess what was the impact of the program. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, over a period of time, the department stopped conducting the quality of life survey. So the members of the committee are saying you need to look at that. Mm-hmm. The other point I need to make with regard to that issue, we will have to look at the periods within which you do that, because you can't assess impact every 3 months in the sense that the honorable members, you need to say a program, let me use RECAP, has been in place for this period of time. You can do a socio-economic impact. But if we say, let's go and do a socio-economic impact of 50-50 tomorrow when we have just started, we may not be able to see the kind of impact. So we do take the points, and we're hoping that the committee will work with us in terms of finding a way of conducting the survey and in terms of conducting that report and allowing us the lead time and which particular progress. But I will defer to the political freedom.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to follow the DG. I actually want to say that maybe we might have been misallocated in our report, both in tone and spirit. You know, I was in one meeting last night. Someone was speaking about communication. What if I say this year? When the election says no longer the same. What I'm trying to say here, I want to apologize if members felt that the response was those of the when she was speaking about if you want another format. She did not come across in that way to me. All she was saying, this is the standard that we have
we might be ready to work with you in relation to the kind of format that you want to ask to report for. So I just wanted to say that I think, Chair, we're here to come out of this meeting stronger to do our work for the people of South Africa. I was not here to fight. You have a role to play over, my friends. Do play it. Because we will be able to sharpen our tools. You know, if you say what you want to say, we are able to understand. You see, I also want to say that this huge department with this budget has got a very, very huge major responsibility in relation to South Africa. And we are not here to at any time suggest that everything is well in South Africa today. It cannot be. We know that. We know that there are various challenges faced by our people. So there's no intention to hide anything through some glossy, you know, cover. But what is inside here is the kind of work that we have done. And we're not lying to you. What is here is work that we have done. You might be looking, even on socio-economic, I think it's a good suggestion, quality of life thing. Maybe you also might be looking for the word socio-economic. But we feel that some of the things that we have done that are here have got a direct impact on the lives of our people. In fact, if you look at this book, page 31, it speaks about actual performance in relation to hectares against the actual targets. And this is true. Now, the problem that we all know of centuries of colonialism, you might just regard that as an elephant. And we're doing our bit in chewing this elephant bit by bit. For instance, if you say that, there would be people who would say, you know, also service delivery is not service delivery when it has not reached you. If it's next door, it has not reached you. Because that's why you would find a lot of people angry that the portfolio committee in the areas they go to. And I can tell you, if you go to Richmond Park here, just here next to Goodwood, when you enter there, they illuminate, indicating to you the kind of work that has been done by the department, the kind of work that has been done that by the department in improving their lives. That today they are owners. They work for nobody. If you go to Ebenezer, down there in the West Coast, they will humiliate because in a practical way their lives have been changed through work done by the department. Let me hasten to say that I want to underscore again what you are saying, that our people are still faced by huge, huge, huge challenges. The only thing is, at least it would not be accurate to say there has been no difference, you know, because there has been a difference in the lives of our people. Now, if you look at the NPP and the challenges, you know, program participation, and the cornerstone of the three challenges faced in our country,
So the point, the general point I'm making is that there are practical things that have been done to improve the lives of our people. Let me just in closing say that I really took to heart what Member Matthias was saying yesterday. I really took to heart. I was wondering, Chair, why is he so quiet?
I'm preparing to come back home.
Well, Julius already made that statement last week. So that's gathering momentum.
So I have taken to heart what you are saying. And it's such criticism that makes us better people. Because you know sometimes you might want to say something and not say it in a way that other people can be able to listen to. Yeah. He will, as time goes on, see that our stance is not a temporary one. All he needs to do is to join the stance. And by the way, as the chair indicated, you know, fortunately, we'll be more strengthened after 2019. When Honorable Matthias has announced by his president that they will be coming to the ANC. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, let me correct the record. No. He says this on record. I think I must correct him on record. There's no coming back of anybody home. What the president of the EFF, the commander-in-chief, says is, we'll make an offer to the ANC once we have brought it below 50%. And we know because of the arrogance in them, they're going to refuse it. And they know what will be the consequences. and we're saying, as I conclude, that move, Deputy Honorable Chair, will only be if the ANC agrees to collapse itself and a new movement is formed.
Can I remind you that this is a committee meeting? I'm both an EM and honorable member. This is a committee meeting.
Okay.
You can arrange your own meeting.
Yeah. Collaboration meeting.
Thank you.
just allow us to be a bit flexible, because there is no determination that says forward this way, because that's what we do. Then we can present the outcomes in terms of the media and sense of disproportionately, districts are part of our implementation for these policies, so it will be a much more comprehensive and that way you have a sense of hope, so that when you get a annual report, what it says you'll be able to convey to the budget to take a number of issues that the efforts that the restitution the donor will remember, I think, the kind of number who is the fact that I think it's one of the children of the donor community. Remember, Chair, that deal was there's nothing substantive there. That Parliament did not consult. So we're trying to especially the NGOs. And please do remember what the Chair has been saying about the capacity challenges. So it's a matter that we also are anxious about. You know, if we give it 24 months, how we handle it.
Serious. Even if the new one is coming, but know that they
other one has expired due to the lack of compliance. I think we must be serious. The other issue is the issue of following up on the issue that has been raised by another lawyer. Because members and for people who are coming from different constituencies, if there's a matter that has been identified and that the department has been made aware of that issue, that matter must not be taken for granted. You have to just go in and investigate what is the problem and intervene. Then the issue on the hectares, I think they were awaiting the information. I don't know if it was not complied, but it does put some time frame. Information as indicated, hectares information allocated to farms and less than farms. But we need to emphasize the DG that I think we need just to pull up also, especially on that issue for farm dwellers and labor tenants. We are slow. Let me say that. We are slow. Can you just try to assist those people? I think that the committee will put the right to call. One day we will look at our program to call the treasurer so that the issues about the reporting are raised in the treasurer. Because this is a standard that the department is saying is that when checking all the other reports from the department, all of them they are the same. So I agree with what the minister has raised that on quarterly reports, let them try and see what we expect them, what we expect them to do. And also the annual report, they can just provide this one and provide the summary of the socioeconomic index. But for now, until the treasurer decides that the format of the report must be changed, because all the departments are following one in the same format. Then the other one, the issue of the submissions of legislation. I think what we request, Minister, is that the legislations must be submitted in time. Let us not see what, you know, the restitution issue, the NCOP, but we're looking maybe at the time frame. We find that they didn't have enough time to conduct the public participation because it was really towards the, you know, end of the term. You know. So if the legislations as identified when the resolution is submitted in time, so that we process them accordingly, we are not being tallied. You know, when the legislation is being passed, we know very well that as Parliament has done what they are expected to do, as the department also has done what they have been expected to do. So we expect that these legislations must be just tabled in time. There's no legislation that is a process for on the fast track. We'll just take our own time, follow each and every step. But if the legislation has been submitted late towards the end, then it means that the other MPs will just process that legislation. Then the other one is the issue of the issue of DG, issue of people with disabilities. I think we must not know what we are facing, we must act. It should be 2% for housing. Because even if you can check the previous report, 2%, not moving up, not moving down, just the same. We don't want the department to move this, but there's an act, there's a legislation, the department must comply to that legislation. We need an action. I think in the future reports that we could present to the committee, we need to see an improvement on the, you know, appointment of people with their disabilities. I think the issue of the land rights management facility has been raised. But Minister, ready to request that out of what we have made the submitted, it seems as if there was a lack of monitoring with the panelists. We call them panelists, the lawyers. Because if people's cases are handled, then in the middle, you know, the lawyer disappears. People are not informed about the court dates, you know. But at the end of the day, the money that has been allocated to the CTH to do the work But is there any value for money if we involve the 9 provinces? We find only one person will say that I won the case being represented by the international lawyer. But others will say, they don't have. I think the new service provider which you make sure that that can be justice. And also we strengthen the monitoring. Otherwise people want to you must stop this thing, then you say with the department, if there's a case, appoint a lawyer there and then to deal with the case, because we can't say every single one that we have in our office. We just disappear, you know, communicate with the farm owner, then resolve something, then, you know, the person is supposed to be assisted in that. Then the last one, the issue of the quality of life that we, I think the DG has just clarified that one. I think we need to consider it, especially on this long-term project. We're happy that the minister has informed us because they've been talking about this thing of animal felt management and the recap that they will be moved to that. But we are not sure to what extent, because we're giving people land, to what extent are they going to go to provide the post-settlement support, you know, to those beneficiaries. Because we were seeing some implications on just cuts, recap at the same time, but we're not sure at what extent are they going to go with the development. If you hand over the land, they must just come in. So thank you very much, Honorable Minister CM DJ Lechin. Can you help please? Honorable Susan, what role?
Chairman? The question about enterprises has not been responded to.
No, it has been responded.
You went out for coffee.
No, it was here. What do you mean just yesterday?
The minister responded to
it.
My apologies. I'll get it.
I did, maybe it's you. It's me.
All right. I'll get it for you. I think these talks about EFF and ANC are making the DA uncomfortable.
I don't know.
Minister, these talks about ANC and EFF are making the DA uncomfortable. But I want to assure them I'm with them.
When they drop to 45%.
So there was still the good opposition.
Okay.
I'm told that I hear that we talk about the unity talk between next to Premier Transport.
And you join us, we're just going to pick them back up to 50%. And we'll have another proof.
And we are going to bring them under 50%, that's for sure.
How are you?
Yeah, no. We're working very hard for that. But even prepared to pay by limbs and arms. Limbs and arms. To get them below 50%.
No, not for the will. The ANC will drop itself. That's what makes things easy. It is very busy bringing itself to below 50%. Nobody need make any efforts.
Your point is a master stroke. The ANC is going to drop itself.
We are not even going to interfere. 2017 or not 2017.
Everything has warm in the room that ANC is in power. You don't see that directly.
Just to remind you.
And it's coming.
I get shy on that issue. It's been ANC talk to Lucifer, which will say the same about Jesus coming. And there's a thing on social media, Jesus walking to every lane and turning back.
Oh, that's all.
Not only turning, there's every lane, Jesus turning back just one step.
People get the creative.
That is not going to help.
Now, Honorable Deputy Minister, you're missing the point. ANC must be more productive, let alone oversight. It must get closer to the people.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Transformation that would need to take place at emotional, not policy level, but at emotional level.
Now, I don't know who will manage that. Even when we made those demands,
Yeah.
It, it,
and I'm glad to hear that.
Lucky when you look, if you
forget. No, I would have got that document, but I'm right here. So I'm but thanks for that. You're not captured, Chairperson, eh?
You like to stay conservative,
eh? Yeah, I do. I love it.
Hey, Joe, you done? Mr. De Klerk.
Yeah, De Klerk.
Year,
there were claims that had been targeted, and when they were being processed, they opened doors for the settlement of other similar claims. So it would have been a claim that was processed as one, but once we managed to make a breakthrough, it then made way for other claims, and those are in the main the Papuli claim and the Chibase claim in the court. We also had a target of finalizing 373 claims, and we exceeded that target and almost doubled it by finalizing 560 claims. Now, we finalized a claim where we have paid the last cent and where we have transferred the last hectare that is involved in the claim. We also had a target of phase projects. 62 was the target that we were able to deliver 82. Now, the only area where we did not meet our target was in relation to the research of claims that were lodged by the one we had a target of 2,660 claims to be researched, and we only managed to research 2,541. We were 119 claims short in respect of that particular target. The reason was our poor controls, particularly relating to the management of service providers to whom we outsourced the research of claims. The last key performance indicator related to the acquisition of two 4x4 trucks, which were going to assist us to reach rural areas, we were able to meet that target. The next slide then sets out delivery in terms of the 101,000 hectares of land that was awarded, and what was the delivery per quarter. And in the next slide, we then set out a summary of performance according to the four key performance indicators, as I have already referred to. The distribution of the 101,000 hectares that we were able to return to successful restitution payments per province is then set out in slide number 8. In slide number 9, we then set out the amount of awards that were made in rand terms. We were able to make land awards for 1.1 billion, and then 802 million was for financial compensation, making a total award for the year of 1.9 billion. The spread of where of the settlement is then set out in slide number 10 in the pie chart format. In terms of financial performance, of the 1.9 billion in slide number 8, that is the total award that were made during the financial year. We were able to make payments of 1.4 billion during that particular financial year. And the total expenditure was on household was 2.1 billion. The difference between the 1.4 and the 2.1 being expenditure in respect of backlog claims, and backlog claims would be those claims that were settled before the 1st of April 2015. In slide number 12, we then set out the details that were spread the province in terms of the 2.1 billion rand that was spent in the year, 802 million for financial compensation, 151 million as recapitalization and development grant restitution contribution towards that program. 5 million was paid to conveyors that assisted the commission in transferring the land back to the people, and 1.1 billion rand was spent buying that land. And then on slide number 13, we then set out 4 billion of what was spent in the previous financial year was on approvals that were done, the settlements, the awards that were made on that specific financial year, and then 734 million was in respect of approvals that were done before the 1st of April 2015, giving us a total of what was then eventually spent, which is 2.1 billion rand. During the year under review, we were still receiving new claims. What we are now starting to do in the commission is to then say, where are the claims that were lodged? We know in which offices claims were lodged, but you could go to any office. You could go to any office and lodge a claim in respect of land, even if it's in a different province. So we have now started to then go through those claims and determine in which province is the land that has been claimed, and that table on slide number 15 is then an indication of how many claims of in respect of land in the Free State, for an example, were lodged in the Eastern Cape. In the Bloemfontein office and Gauteng, etc., etc. And then we have then set out those numbers, giving us a total and at the end of the financial year, 164 claims that have been lodged. And in terms of the human resources in the commission, as at the end of the period under review, the commission at the time had 761 officials, of which 366 were African female, 311 were African male, 39 were colored female, 9 were colored male, 10 were Indian females, and then 8 were Indian males, and then 13 white males, and 5 white males. And their respective levels is then also on that table in slide number 17. Slide number 17 then sets out through a pie chart the percentage in terms of representation, and we are seeing that in the staff complement of the commission, 48% is African female, African male constitutes 20%, colored female 5%, colored male 1%, colored female, Indian female 1%, Indian male 1%, white female 1.7%, and white male 0.6%. And then in between the two genders, 56% of the staff complement in the commission is female, and 43% is male. Then the last slide is setting out then differentiating between staff that processes claims and staff that worked in our lodgement centers, and the total of 99 of the officials work in the lodgement center. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John Johnson. Honorable members, listening to the presentation. The issue of the service provider that has been doing the research report, I think that it is very important, because the research is a critical stage of the restitution process. So if we delay a bit of research in the state, it means that the state, it will take some years to be finding out what steps have been taken. We have told them to submit inside. What are the terms of reference that have been agreed upon by the service providers? And also just to highlight the commitment themselves so that you see the restitution that none of themselves.
Thanks, Chair. You know, Chair, I'm concerned. Maybe Deputy Udayuti sometimes you tell me not to say what you want to say or somebody take a different. But since I was here, there have been vacancies in this since I was here. Now, nothing is, there's no movement. I don't know how to put it, but there's, in fact, it's not even partially achieved. Because there's no movement since 2013. Now I'm concerned. And above all, there's inconsistency of your budget allocated. When you check your financial statement and the department financial performance, they don't talk to each other. You can even go and check your annual report, page 76. I think the chair was covered in part of commitment. You know, with how much does you still owe as the commissioner? And another check underperformance against the set target. You'll check according to the report, it says 1998 research. I think it's the question that you've asked. They've achieved, they don't tell us more about 119. What is happening? Why you don't achieve that? What are the reasons behind? Or what strategy do you have for us to achieve that? The variance is between the 1198 and the 2660. No, thanks, Shekhama.
Just thank you so much, and thanks to the Deputy CDS. The very learned lawyer for simplifying to our level. Every law can be reduced to the level of an ordinary person. I think it's fair to understand. Chair, there are two things I wish to propose to raise and ask the Deputy to help with. The roadmap towards Botswana. Because then our cross, we don't want to be caught up next week in all giving of our time. Things in clubs and helplessly. Tomorrow I'll be raising my voice on the trust and the award for ICT. So I like the nations, the clarity of spoken people. Road map towards the autonomy of the commission, but also costed and timed. Costed and timed. Because in our timeline, the cost breaks down. The second one should be on the issue about researchers. I do not complicate it, Mr. Gioberto, about the radical economic transformation thing, but clearly, even during the present day era, we used to talk about business unusual. I guess radical economic transformation means business unusual. So the issue of the recession, I'm picking it right because I've spoken on this and I was hotter under the collar than now when I spoke on this. Because we found that you reported that much progress would be hampered by the deficiency in the level of recession. Haven't you thought of individual scholar researchers, I suppose, somebody with honor, really, being contracted on by themselves? Someone is a private student, if you need to do a master, I don't know if I'm dropping the standard, I wouldn't like to. And then contract that individual, it's far better than a service provider, right? Because it's just a lousy individual to research 10 cases, this other individual, 10 cases, that other individual, 10 cases. If you have got about 20 individuals in one province, you can research 200 cases. It's too simplistic, and please tell me, on an intellectual level, I don't want to be authority. It's too simplistic to think that this thing about researchers, if we think outside the box, we can contract individual researchers. By my definition, a researcher is post-grad, and then contract them individually, than looking for a service provider. Because a service provider takes up the route of tenders and all those other things, and they are then not necessarily profit. But the route of individual researchers, I guess, off-hand, I guess, to have enough of postgrad students who will be prepared to research some 10 cases if you like, you know, and the other. Across the country, we can easily have a great number of researchers. Then we go back to finance to say, what is the model to conduct these people?
Thanks, Madam Chair, if you allow me. Look, Madam Chair, between 1998, 31st December, and 2014, which can take you for about 16 years, so much of land parcels were parceled out to claimants, about 60,000 of them. Those are the claims which have been received and perhaps settled before 1998. But of the 16 years of no action between 1998 and April 2014, that can be considered or viewed as time lost. in the restitution of land and all of that. I wonder, had such a gap not been allowed, had it not been allowed, how much of land would have been restored back to our people? No account is given here as to what within that gap the commissioner was doing, because it's like the commission since then has only acted on claims lodged before the 31st of December 1998. But then until April 2014, departmental statistics and reports indicate that about 30 billion was spent on restitution. 30 billion was spent on restitution. Now, of this 30 billion, we are not so sure, seated here, I don't know, I'm not so sure how much was spent on the actual resettlement of people on land claimed, and how much was spent on the financial compensation. And the same scenario played itself out even in today's presentation. We are not being told in the report of the money spent so far in billions of rand, how much has been spent on actual resettlement of people back to the land, and how much has been spent on financial compensation. Perhaps the reason why that delineation is not made here is because in the last appearance of the commission before the committee, we said that perhaps the department should consider discouraging people to opt for financial compensation over the actual resettlement. And now the commission comes around and try to hide that away. How much has been spent on actual resettlement, and how much has been spent on financial compensation? And of the households that have been, who have households who benefited from this, of which you give figures for women, even in that, you say it's about 6,999, where female-headed households, where female-headed households. We perhaps need to know the same argument. How many of them opted for financial settlement? We are asking these questions because we need to really to make a clear determination whether is restitution really restitution in the true sense of it, or restitution is merely a means to make quick bucks in the pockets or in the hands of our people, which vanishes with the rise of the sun the following morning. Vanishes with the rise of the sun the flowing money, and our people remain destitute despite the intervention. And perhaps people will opt for financial compensation because government programs are not coming handy to provide all the essentials. The equipment, the tractors, the seeds, the irrigation equipment and things like those, including capacity building, for people to be enticed, be incentivized to see the importance of opting for land, the actual resettlement. And perhaps government is also not doing enough, especially the commission, to take upon itself a need to educate our people on the centrality of land ownership. And that also affects the level of consciousness on the land question. A colleague of mine whom I was trying to recruit from the ANC was saying, but if you go to people and say, we stand for the retention and the restoration of land, we're going to give you land. And the ANC comes and say, we'll give you job opportunities, we'll give you social grants and all of that. Who, in his good sense of mind, will listen to you, the EFF? Because you're promising people the intangible. And because the level of consciousness of our people is so low about land consciousness, people will always go and vote for what they've been voting for. And people will ask you, if you say you'll give me land, my father never had a spade, never had a hose pipe, I also don't have a spade and a hose pipe, let alone a tractor. If you give me a land, what am I going to do with land without a spade and a tractor and a hose pipe and seeds? I would rather opt for an RTP house, a social grant, a promise for job opportunity than to take anyone who tells me that there is land and we ought to fight for the land. That is precisely because of low levels of land consciousness. The commission ought to be asked politely that let's engage, let's put aside time and resources to teach and educate our people about the centrality of land ownership so that they would not in the future opt for financial compensation but will opt for actual resettlement back on the land, and government must do its part. What I would want to know what the commission is saying about the suggestion and the process going forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I went through the land audit booklet that was supplied to me by the Surveyor General, where again the allocation or the ownership of property comes into play, according to the booklet. Now, according to the booklet, the state-owned land of 17.1 million hectares, privately owned land of 96.5 million hectares, and then there's undeveloped land where they actually break it down from province to province to province, undeveloped land, which totals just over 2 million hectares. I'm sure that you guys have exhausted this before I've got you, but I'm going to get you back into it again, because I need clarity as well. Now that we're going into this 24-month recess, if we can, because of the issues that happened with regards to the extension of land claims, wouldn't it be feasible to start looking at, firstly, state-owned land, undeveloped land as a kind of as a means to get people land sooner than what it would take going after privately owned land? I mean, obviously we know why privately owned land was taken. It needs to be reimbursed, it needs to be given back to the people and its rightful owners. But in a situation now where we can't do anything now for the next 24 months, should we not be exploiting that? The state-owned land of 17 million hectares, undeveloped land, 2 million hectares, and would it not be cheaper as well for the state to be concentrating on that as opposed to purchasing land, rather concentrate on state-owned land and possibly undeveloped land, if there is undeveloped land that falls into the category or falls under the ownership of state-owned land? Would it not be quicker and easier to be able to assist people and help them on the road to prosperity and get them out of the chains of poverty? Just a question. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Well, my first question is directed, is about Bazia Lentley. And I don't know if this claim has been settled. I see the stats about the Eastern Cape. I would love to know if it has finally been settled, because I'm happy to see a note here to say previously approved claims have been taken care of. And I know that when we wrote the party to the minister, that other financial aid, were given a written assurance that it would be prioritized in the financial year 15-16, and that is the year in question. So I think this is the right time for me to ask if it has been, and if it's not, why not? About the report itself, and I would hope that the department would take this to heart. It is suffering from extreme brevity. It's dry statistics. Literal dry statistics. There is no contextual connection between what this division is doing and the and what the political aspirations of the country are. What I mean by that is that nowhere does this report refer to any other division of the department. To the extent that there is no mention of the type of land that the state has purchased for so much, we are in the dark insofar as this report is concerned. I don't know if I'm right. I don't see anywhere where it says so many hectares were agricultural, so many were residential, and so on and so forth. It's just, that's what I mean by saying it's suffering from extreme brevity. In other words, as a committee, we are not able to say, after approving a budget for the department, a portion of which was to be used for land restitution, therefore now, so many more hectares are in the hands of agricultural hectares or whatever, you know, are now in the hands of the claimants. We who have put no clue, because the report does not go that route. I am sure that the format that this report follows is not necessarily, you know, prescribed by Treasury in this case. It is just a choice to be as skinny as one can possibly be. This is just statistics. We're given 2 billion, we bought land for 2 billion, end of the story. It's situated in these provinces. That cannot help any member of this committee when they talk to people about the effectiveness of such a highly political program at this point in time in our country. You can't use this information for anything at all. Not even the party in power can only say we have acquired so much and that's it, you know. And in isolated cases, because they would be having intimate knowledge on certain programs, they would be able to say, here are people for whom we purchased land, and now they have it. I'm saying this because, in particular in Bazia, I'm watching a painful situation where the current occupiers of the land are milking, the forestry there, and the people of Bazia are just watching helplessly because the claim has not been settled, and all they can settle for are crabs in the form of rental. So many people from Bazia could now be, established foresters if their claim had been settled. Or if they had money that was given to them, they would be doing something about it. Now, how many more hectares of situations of that nature are we? And we're helpless because we do not know how much of this land was for forestry, was for agricultural use, and what have you. So I think I have made the point very clearly that if this kind of report, scanty as it is, is not helpful. The challenges and possible solutions are...
Remember,
transport arranged if you are out of this house at 6 o'clock, it means that we wait for the 8 o'clock to start.
Okay.
So I'm trying to say when you ask a question, you must just be short and specific so that if we, at least by 5:30, we are out of this room.
Okay, sure.
Because those members without cars will be struggling to get to their cars. They have to just get the shuttle.
Okay. So that is the kind of information which I think would help us as a committee, because South Africa at the moment is a developmental state. So I look at issues always from that perspective. How can we use the information that we are given, you know, to develop, to take the country forward? Lastly, I'm glad that Honorable Matthias has reiterated what I said, even in the NA for that matter, to say people should be offered, should be actually be encouraged to look at other options rather than settle just for land easily. You know, I started saying it here in the committee and I reiterated it, you know, during budgets, you know. Thank you very much, Chair, for that.
The manner in which we are setting the claim is that we are providing them with restoration and paying them financial compensation for the structure that was demolished at the time of dispossession. We will revert to you in writing to the committee with regard to whether the actual Bazia claim is one of those that has been approved. I suspect it is, but I'm not 100% sure. Then I am the person who is working facilitating the settlement of the forest part of the claim. I can give you personal assurance that that one is in attendance. In the hard copy of the annual report, we have listed all the claims that were settled, which give details to the numbers. And in each province, we have identified a few highlight cases where we've even provided details of what happened to the people, when were they removed, where are they now, what's happening with the land, what are the plans with the land. And as and when we settle these claims, we are linking our claimants together with the capitalization and development program so that assistance is provided. Is provided to those communities that receive land. The department has adopted the rural economy transformation model, and we are using that model to then make sure that there are proper governance structures and proper development structures, which is something that the DG referred to earlier today. Honorable Robertson, indeed, the state land audit that 40% of the land belongs to the state. In the main, that is land that is in the former homeland. It is land that is occupied by communities. And when Minister made examples of where the department is contributing in the creation of new rural towns, it is that. So it is land that is already occupied. And we can only give back state land that has been claimed, where people were physically removed from, or we can give state land and alternative land. And what we have discovered is that even when we want to use state land as alternative to give to people as alternative land, we find that there are other people and communities that have land rights vested on that land. The communal land tenure bill that the DG referred to earlier is then going to set out the legal framework in terms of how that land is going to be is going to be dealt with. Honorable Mathia, in the last presentation that we made with the department, we were reviewing performance for the fourth quarter. We made reference to information relating to the whole year. And the committee said to us, when we call you to come and review a certain period, tell us about that period. That is why we did not say in the presentation that we have settled 78,750 claims as of the 31st of March 2019, that we have made awards of 3.3 million hectares, and that we have paid financial compensation of 10.2 billion since 1994. And 19.9 billion has been used to buy land, and that land is 3.3 billion. Honorable Magella, it indeed is correct that the land, not all of the land, the awards have been made has been transferred. Of the 3.3 million, of the 3.3 million hectares, 1.7 million hectares has been transferred to communities. They are the owners, and the balance is registered in the name of the state. It is a category that we call in the department created state land. That land is being warehoused by the state because of a whole lot of issues, most of which revolve around community disputes. We are now using the rural economy transformation model to deal with those community disputes so that the land we can have government structures, proper government structures created, and then transfer the land to the people. We do encourage all the time, we do encourage people to take land, not money. Unfortunately, because of lack of alternative sources of income, people are going for money. But we are doing everything we can in our auctions workshop to encourage people to take land. If you look at the battery is just died in the laptop. If you look at the performance in the last financial year, we spent more money buying land than the money that we spent buying financial compensation, because we are able to sometimes successfully convince people to choose land. We do not have a policy in the commission that says we should not or we must not employ people with disability. It's just it's a weakness in our report. There are people that are employed. The policies that manage that we use for human resources management are exactly the same policies that the department has. So in the global picture that CDG Southgate presented, it includes restitution, and we are also governed by the same policies as a department. In our report, both in the printed content and in the PowerPoint, we did not indicate people with disabilities, and we will improve on that going forward. The research of claims. We conducted, assisted by the Human Sciences Research Council, a diagnosis, trying to understand why is the Commission struggling with the research. And out of that came a strategy for research. We said we are going to outsource the research of complex restitution claims to universities and research institutions. And then we developed a panel of researchers, and we allocated the panel work, and we gave them timelines in which to submit reports. And in the previous financial year, that is when, at the end, when we were looking and reviewing our work, we saw that there were gaps. We were very poor at managing those people. Since then, we have done more work to actually try and find out now those that have now given us the report, what is the quality of the report? We we found that a lot of the service provider gave us even poor quality research reports than what the commission was producing. And we then said, what do we do now? We have then identified the researchers that are performing, and we are moving from allocating one complex research report at a time to a system where we're looking at a district and sometimes a cluster of districts, and even the whole province where there's just a few claims that are outstanding. We are finalizing now the appointment of researchers, mostly from the university, that are now going to assist us to complete the research of all our students by the end of the present calendar year. We've sat down, we've looked at the research, and we've come up with what we think is a strategy that is going to assist us to finalize the research of the claims of December 1998 by the end of the current financial year. The Commission does, Honorable Chair, have commitments. They are disclosed in the annual financial statement. We are currently sitting at 5.6 billion rand. Those are awards that have been made, but we have not been implemented. So, of the 5.6 billion rand, 60% of that, 3.3 billion, is for land acquisition and financial compensation, and then 40% of that, which comes to 2.2 billion rand, is for grants. We again conducted a study of what constitutes this commitment register. We know all the transactions, where we are required to negotiate and pay. We do negotiate and pay. That is why when we report, there is a portion of our budget that we always say was used on backlog claims. Paying backlog claims, we are creating that commitment that was created. When we started with the presentation, we indicated that we are required by the Restitution Act to table our report not later than the 1st of June. That literally gives us 2 months. The financial year ends at the end of March. It gives us April and May to consolidate the work that has been done and then prepare and submit and table in Parliament the annual report. All of that happens before the audit for the department, which includes the work of the commission, is completed. Most often than not, it happens before the annual financial statements of the department have been completed. So you will then see a little bit of difference in terms of particularly the financials between the report of the commission and the report of the department, which already presents audited financial statements. Now, the autonomy has been a little bit tricky for the commission. We are assisted in that project by GTEC from National Treasury and by the DPSA, Public Service and Administration. Now, there are two options. One is a national public entity, and having the commission declared as such, listed as such by National Treasury. And the other option is to have the commission as a listed by DPSA as a government component. Now, both options, but especially the public entity one, requires certain capacity, and that capacity requires money, and that's the money that is currently not available. Then the meeting, the strategic planning session that the CLCC is at with the team is looking at how do we, firstly, the issues of targeting, the performance indicators, are the correct indicators to indicate the performance of the work of the commission, taking into account all the political mandate and some of the issues that were raised today, and autonomy is one of them. set out in our strategic plan how is it being rolled out, how can we improve the timing, and we will provide invoicing cost and the time in relation to that. And then lastly, on the question about the vacancy, what the department reported on issues affecting vacancy rate and capacity and compensation of employees budget also affect us. And the detail about vacancy rate at the end of the financial year are set out in the text of the annual report.
Thank you. For that, sir. I wonder if the response was because we are late, but it is unfair for me if I'm waiting for a bus and I'm not going to get the right response. This is not an answer that I'm expecting. Honestly, no. Unless that the response that I'm getting on vacancy, in fact, he was so quick. For example, he's saying the report is on the report that you've stated, the first report that we had. And I was talking about above all the inconsistency of the financial performance. And I'm saying because we are rushing for 6 o'clock, we'll get this, so we'll get an opportunity to have follow-up questions. That's my concern. That's what I'm going to
for. Although
we've
got the challenge of time, if there's a question that has been answered, I'm interested. The members have got the right to write written questions to the department to get detailed information. As a committee, we can also request the commission provide that in writing to the committee, because we're still going to meet with the commission. That is not the last day. We're not going to die tomorrow or today evening. But you can just tell them that submit this information so that at the end of the day we move on to the
next. Yeah, I think I'm talking at 8, not 6 o'clock. 8. My kids. It is uncalled for me as a member to start to get. I know that I have a written question. You can ask the minister. I have several written questions that I'm doing. But this is a report that is it's here. I'm saying the buses end at 8 o'clock. We're getting paid. Getting paid.
Actually, I want to broker a compromise and wish to persuade Honorable Jamal that he had said for return responses to forward in 7 days to the question. I would agree with Honorable Jamal. I don't think that adequate. Effort was put into responding to all the questions, including the surprise on the roadmap I asked. Yeah. So I don't know, I'll really honestly persuade my colleague that it's within the chair's powers to pronounce that the department or the entity provide answers within 7 days, including those answers that deputy said they are contained in the department that responds. To the extent that they affect the commission, perhaps you respond on your part, or the return work, the
return work,
the return work,
the return
work,
the return work, the
return
work, the return work, the return work, the return
work, the return work, the return work,
you don't belong to this committee if you don't know no Pongoza. Please, sir.
Can I just get another last follow-up on the question? Doctor, I'm not wasting time. I'm concerned. You wanted to be autonomous. You wanted to be autonomous, and I thought you were doing the basic before that. It has been approved now, there are issues. Didn't you think of that before? Maybe follow-up question of three. Respond to that.
Like this report.
The issue of I think we have to appreciate the input by members here. I just want to ask for assistance from fellow members of parliament. This is a new version of the civil constitution. If you can also, as public reps, assist, because one of the things that makes the focus to correct sometimes is infighting even amongst members of the community. So this issue of city is important. The other thing, Chair, is that when I arrived here, the minister, this is one of my responsibilities under the institution. His gospel was, we must everywhere we go emphasize that land is time money. Encourage people on the issue of land, you know. I think the Honorable Kitana made a mistake by saying we must give people money.
No,
then, yeah. Then the last one, sir, is on Bazia. You know, the Korean disabled, and I will sell to the media that to me. Those people there took me to show me anything that to me.
What is that?
They are very happy people now. Because.
It's in the capital.
Because we have now busy, we are not busy, they are getting their money. Now they are following, they say they are very happy. I just want to say, I saw you, I've given your business card. Please don't worry, I'm interacting with them. Don't worry, don't need to go and tell them. We will go there ourselves.
You said the same thing about Kwachu the last time, Deputy.
Yes, don't go to
and we have not gone there. You said the same thing about.
Yeah. Well, the councillor who lives in Bazia, in KSG, he knows.
Quite.
Sorry.
And you have never fulfilled your promise.
Yes.
You want to go with me? I don't want to go with you.
You have not been there.
Super officer.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to check that this member was committee assistant or their admin assistant in their office, because this information is in their page notes. I'm definite about that. And the presentations are in their emails in their secretaries as well.
Let members check that, but some of the questions that were asked are in the report. Then secondly, the meeting is still on. The progress report in Brazil, I think the department will assist us with that one, and also the issue that has been raised by members of financial compensation, I think they are contesting the Restitution Act. While we're doing the act, why can't we change that? Considering changing that, or considering that? No, without making some proposals, yes, because financial compensation and land is in the Restitution Act. So it was saying we need people to have more than anything. Just considering that the Restitution Act. And the other one is that I think it has been. Let me answer it myself. When we are dealing with the annual report, we expect the department and the entity have to present the annual report of 2020. We are dealing with the activities that have been performed in that financial year. If there's any additional information about 2009-10, you have the right as a member to request that information. But if we're saying we're dealing with the annual report, we can't quote or indicate things that happened in 2009 while dealing with the annual report. Then the other one is that on questions on issues that have not been yet answered to our satisfaction, it is our right to write questions or to request the department to submit additional information members. We've got the right to do so. But we can't stay here from 8 o'clock for the vacancy. Just because of the vacancy.
Not only for vacancy. Several questions I have follow up.
I think also I want to repeat this. I've said it several times that members have got the right to make, to contact the department, whether the minister, whether the deputy minister, if there's a claim in your constituency that you need a progress report, you've got the right as a member to contact the department directly so that you get a progress report. Then the roadmap will be submitted and I think the issue of the submission of the commission report to the M needs to be considered because the DFMA and the commission report, if they're talking two different things, I think we'll have a problem. Because the report is submitted in June, why is the financial statement not being submitted? It means that we'll be dealing with the incomplete report. Our role, lastly, in our constituency offices, let us assist the department in preaching the gospel. Number one, we all know that the reopening process has been suspended. That is the gospel that we have to preach to us in the department. Secondly, the issue of the conflict that has delayed the finalization of things, I think that is the gospel that members have to assist in preaching to our constituency, so that people must not say the restitution is delaying while they are fighting. Because if they are fighting, then the restitution has got nothing to do, delay the process, the whole process. So we have to assist, because as a committee, we're not here to just ask questions. At the same time, we have to work together and assist and intervene where we're supposed to intervene. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned till tomorrow at 10. ITV. Joma.
Joma.
Please accept my apology for tomorrow.
Members,
Sasha will leave at 10.
Tomorrow I won't be here. Yeah, absolutely.
Is this your recording thing?